Hello and welcome once again to At the Table with Gail Hall and me, Peter Fleming, doing a little bit of introduction for her. Hello, Gail.
Hello. Yes, and we're going to do a bit of revision, we've decided, because we're both, you know, sort of having a challenge and we're both cooking. So we're going to give you a little bit of an insight of what we've done.
It's like the Great Coast Access Bake Off in here.
It certainly is at the moment. Yes. So, well, Peter, do you want to talk about your recipe?
Shall I talk about mine then?
Yes, right, okay. You can.
Well, we said last week, and this caught my eye at the time, that I'd have a bash at your raspberry streusel scones.
Yes, yes.
So I did. I made them last night. And slightly different. It's streusel topping, well, that was brown sugar, ginger, cinnamon and butter. And you rub it into breadcrumbs. Well, me being me, I threw them all in the food
processor. Oh, did you?
I always do that with stuff. Mucking about, rubbing butter in is a pain.
Yeah.
So I chuck those in and whizz those up. That's done.
Yeah.
And then the actual scones, well, the plain flour, I did the same thing.
Oh, okay. Oh, well, shortcuts are handy.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's so much easier, and it's nice and smooth then. So I got those, put them in a bowl, as it said here, and then I mixed up the, whisk the eggs, vanilla, milk and yogurt, and pour onto the flour mixture. Mm. But before that, you had to put the... We'd got some frozen raspberries, but they were as part and parcel of a bag of mixed frozen fruit, which is fine.
So what did you do?
Just tip them in frozen.
Oh, but you had a mixture of fruit, though?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It was frozen, but it wasn't just raspberries.
Oh, right.
And there was quite a bit of strawberry, but they cut up even frozen.
So that's right. Yeah.
Now, the only problem I came across then was... When you put these frozen, you don't want to muck about too much because they're going to defrost and they're going to go just slurge you all throw away through it. Mm. So I pretty much, as you said here, you tip the mixture that you've beaten together onto the flour mixture.
And
I
thought,
I need to get it in and get it going. So I sort of tipped it in, forked it around to mix it together, and it was pretty wet, I can have to say.
Oh.
And I thought, well, if I try putting more flour in and getting it drier, the fruit's just going to sort of break up and disappear, disintegrate. Mm. So I tipped it down onto a very well-floured board, and I tell you, this was wet. It wasn't a batter like we've been talking about,
no.
But it was pretty wet. Yeah. And then I sort of spread it around a bit, then I put flour on the top, and then I was able to, it was stiff and firm enough to cut into quarters.
Right.
And transferred with a slice onto the baking tray.
That's what I would do. Do you flour your knife before you cut through the scones?
No, I didn't. Perhaps I should have done.
Yeah. That's just another little thing that I find because it does stick.
Yeah. And this really was sticky. I mean, it was so. I transferred the four quarters of the scone mix onto the baking tray. Then I put flour on the top, as I said here. Oh, bit more flour. Then I brushed with the egg.
Right.
It was
not easy
because this was wet.
Oh, okay.
Then I put the streusel topping on and bunged them in the oven. And then the only thing I hadn't got on your recipe was a temperature. Didn't include one. Anyway, I did the standard sort of 180 fan. Mm-hmm. I cooked them for the 20 minutes that you said. No, because mine were so wet it didn't work. So I checked them and they're no. And so I gave them at least another 15, if not 18 minutes.
Did you? Over and above the 15
20,
that you
20.
Get,
so we're up to about 35, 40 minutes.
Oh.
And then I thought I'd better take them out. Well, I took them out and I brought them in today for you to try. Yeah. And it did cook all right in the end, but it's not a thick scone, but actually... Very tasty.
Oh.
If anything, I think they need a little bit more sugar in the scone mix.
Oh,
but
right.
Otherwise, well worth a bash.
Oh, they look nice. I mean, I've had a look at them out there in your container.
And
they're browned off lovely.
With a bit of butter. Well, in fact, last night, when it was still slightly warm out of the oven, I popped mine into a bowl and poured cream over the top.
Oh, did you now? Well, that's a posh scone then.
Jolly nice.
Oh,
no,
good.
It's good. So I'll give that a thumbs up.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good because I look forward to actually trying it. Yeah, good on you, Peter. That's great. Well, that's interesting about the wet mixture, though.
Now, I tend to be a bit casual with my amounts. So I was scooping stuff out with a cup measure or a half cup measure.
Yeah.
And I don't sort of then top it up and level it off. And so maybe I had slightly too much liquid anyway.
Okay.
But anyway, I say you can't mess about.
No.
trying to get the texture right because you're bashing up this frozen
fruit.
That's right,
all the and you
time,
really so. Haven't got time.
But it did work. Yeah. Oh, that's I mean, good. I was quite surprised that it cooked like it did.
Yeah. Oh, good. Well, I look forward to that. Well, I've got something as well, Peter, because I know that you made that chicken dish with the pearl barley,
mm-hmm.
and we had a discussion, I think, on air about that, how you felt that the pearl barley was still, you know, reasonably sort of not soft.
That's
anyway.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And you cooked it for the regulated 50 minutes, I think you said you did anyway.
Yes, yes.
And Peter sort of gave me the challenge, really, but I was making this dish anyway to take away. And I'll tell you what, there's one difference. Peter did cook his in the oven, and I was sort of busy. I think I must have had something else in the oven. There was a bit going on in the kitchen. So I thought I had the big frying pan out because you do saute the chicken and the mushrooms and all that sort of thing first. So I thought, well, why shouldn't I just keep it in this sort of fairly deep frying pan? So I decided to do that and cook it right through to the end in the frying pan on a very, very sort of simmery heat on the top oven. And I was cooking potatoes with it, and I decided that it needed a little bit of gloss, and so put a teaspoon, I think it was a teaspoon or a dessert spoon, not much, of corn flour into some cold liquid, and then poured that in, and then I just took some liquid from my boiled potatoes, and just so that it wasn't sort of getting, you know, sticky onto the frying pan, and it was sort of like really keeping that moisture in. And I tell you what, it was really, really lovely. It was really nice. And the wheat was cooked perfectly because I cooked it for an hour and 10 minutes. So that's 60 minutes plus, you know, I cooked it for about 70 minutes, just bubbling away. But it had a good sauté. It was lovely. It was really nice. And I took it away with me, and we had it for a meal, and everybody said it was lovely.
There we are, another thumbs up.
So another thumbs up for that.
And the one I made, we were happy with that. I felt it needed a little bit more salt and pepper, that was all.
I put more salt and pepper in it on your advice. I did, because I was cooking it, and I thought, Peter said more salt and pepper. So I thought, well, yes, I did, and it was great. It was really good. And another one we've just talked about recently, and I think it is the artichoke dip that we did last week. And I made that. And I must admit, it is beautiful. You bake it. You bake it. And I had to hunt around for the artichokes, I must admit. And it says in the recipe, squeeze the hearts to get the juice out. I tried to squeeze it, and I thought, this isn't working. So I actually pulled the artichoke hearts out of the jar, and I cut them up. And then I read a bit further down, chop the artichoke up, but it says in the actual base of the recipe, the ingredients, squeeze the juice out of the artichokes. And am I correct, Peter? You're looking at the recipe. I haven't got it in front of me. It says a jar of artichokes.
Yeah, squeezed to drain.
Squeezed to drain. Well, I might have been trying to squeeze too hard because the juice was really... And talking about the... it's in a herb vinaigrette, and I haven't thrown it away. Because I'm not throwing it away. I'm going to put some cut-up onion in it or something like that because I feel it's a waste just throwing that lovely herbed sort of vinaigrette that they were in.
Yeah.
And then I cut up the artichokes and then, of course, with everything, I got out my mixer and then I thought, no, I can do this by hand. So I just mixed it all by hand, put the artichokes and the... I didn't use spinach because I didn't have spinach, but I got a ton of silver beet in the garden. So I went out and got two stalks of silver beet, made sure all the white stalk was gone because I didn't want that in it. I just cooked that up, cut it finely, and that's what you add at the last. I put it into a greased glass long casserole, and baked it in the oven, as it says, for 20 minutes. And I tell you what, it was bubbling and beautiful. I took it out because I made it reasonably late at night, and I had some cracker biscuits there that were a bit broken. Dipped it in. Mwah. This is a nice recipe.
And I've got a little bowl full that
you
Gail
have.
Brought in, and Gail's got a little box of scones. So.
I have. So talk about, you know, king of the bakers here at Radio 104.7.
Go home clutching our goodies.
Right, so with that, I think we'll carry on with today's ones.
About time and, we did, yes.
Yes, and I'm going to start off with, because I like parsnips and I don't have them very often, but I saw this recipe and it's honey roasted parsnips and bulgur wheat salad with blue cheese. And I just thought, that sounds pretty good. So we've got 5 medium parsnips peeled, quartered lengthways, and the centre core cut out because, that's your little hard piece. And 2 large red onions cut into wedges through the root, go through that middle. 3 tablespoons of olive oil, 1 tablespoon of runny honey warmed, 1 teaspoon each of ground turmeric and smoked paprika, 2 teaspoons of caraway seeds, sea salt and ground pepper, 1 cup of bulgur wheat, and 1/4 cup of currants, and 1/4 cup of finely chopped parsley, and 1/2 cup of toasted seed mix. And that could be sunflower seeds, poppy seeds, sesame seeds, any like that type of seed that you've got into your pantry, and 1/2 cup of walnuts toasted. And finally, 200 grams of blue cheese crumbled. And I love blue cheese, and it's especially in probably in something like this. Now, for the dressing, you've got 1/4 cup of olive oil, 1 tablespoon each of runny honey and red wine vinegar, 1 teaspoon of finely grated orange zest, 2 tablespoons of orange juice, 1 teaspoon of Dijon mustard, and 2 cloves of garlic crushed. Now, we're moving on to the method here. And preheat the oven to 180 degrees fan bake. Now we're putting the parsnips and the onions on a large baking tray. Whisk the oil, honey, turmeric, paprika and caraway seeds together. Then pour over the vegetables. Obviously you've got them in with the lips on them because you wouldn't be doing it on a baking tray that you cook cookies on. So like a meat dish, I would say, a good meat dish. Toss to coat well, spread out to a single layer, and season generously with salt and pepper. Now you're roasting that for 30 minutes, turning once during cooking or until the parsnips are tender and caramelized. Now just take those out and just cover them tea towel or with anything, breadboard or whatever, to keep warm. Put the bulgur wheat in a heatproof bowl with a good pinch of salt and cover generously with boiling water and just leave that aside for 15 minutes, then drain really, really well so the grains are quite dry. So you're just draining them really well, throw them into a colander. Now the dressing, whisk all those ingredients together and season well. Now to serve, this is their way of saying to serve, but you can do it as you like. But mix the bulgur wheat with the currants and parsley, then 1/2 each of the dressing, seed mix and walnuts. Transfer to a serving plate and top with the warm parsnips and onions. Scatter over the blue cheese, the remaining seed mix and walnuts, and spoon over what's left of the dressing. And this is, absolutely, it's got a picture here of it, and I'll tell you what, it looks delicious. Right, I'm just going to hold it up for Peter so that he can see.
Yeah, it does. I'm not a great fan of parsnips.
Well, I do love them. And, and I did read, don't go buying the big parsnips because you think you're getting a better deal. You buy the smaller ones because they're nicer and they haven't got such a woody taste to it. But if you're not keen on parsnips, well, that's probably useless information for you, Peter. But but basically you do get that hardcore in the middle of it.
It's a rare old recipe. As you read down that you talk about sweet and sour and this and that and yang and ying or whatever.
Oh yes.
You start off with parsnips, a bit sweet, then you put your onions who are bitter, then you put your honey in. And then you put currants, a bit more sweet stuff, and walnuts. Then blue cheese, which is swinging the other way again. And, the dressing, yes, you've got more honey, and then mustard and orange juice.
It's really sort of doing a blend, like you say, of sweet and sour, through this recipe, actually. Yeah. But anyway, I'm not going to say that I'm going to try it and bring it in next week. I must admit. But through time, I just might just think about this. And actually, I think you could actually just cook those parsnips and don't worry about the dressing, but still put the blue cheese over the top, you know, because it's still nice.
So what do you do with it? So you've cooked that. What do you do with it? Do you serve it with something else or? It's a salad. Are you supposed to?
Well, it is sort of a salad, but it's a hot salad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We just eat that. Is that the meal?
Well, you could put something white, like something delicate with it. I don't know. Would corned beef go with that?
Yeah, possibly. I say sometimes you get these things. Yeah, what do I do with it?
Yeah, because corned beef, you can have that lovely mustard sauce. Yeah. So it might just sort of just complement it.
Yeah, okay.
And some very little, now let's just do a whole plate, some very little tiny potatoes too as well.
Well, yes, it's always. I think it might need something like that,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I think so. But anyway, it's
right.
It really appealed to me, and it looked good. So now we've done the main course. Let's just do the dessert, shall we?
And good idea.
This one, of course, is, and I liked it because, well, the fact that it was banana, but it was spiced whiskey. And I thought, oh, this is interesting. And I'm going to say to the listeners that I'm not a great whiskey lover, but I'd probably have it in a baking dish, you know. I'd probably have it in something baked. So this is caramelized banana and spicy whiskey upside down cake. So basically, you're using the base first. So we've got 60 grams of butter diced, 3/4 cup of brown sugar, 1/4 teaspoon of ground cinnamon, 1/4 cup of whiskey, if you can spare it, and 5 medium firm but ripe bananas. Now, that's the base of this cake. The cake itself is 1 cup of mashed overripe bananas, about 3, and quite often you can see these in the supermarket because, you know, they want to get rid of their bananas that are just sort of slightly going overripe.
A bit black.
Perfect for this type of cake. 2 large eggs, 1/2 cup of rice bran oil. Now, they say rice bran oil, but I mean, that probably alters the flavour, but I would probably use some satisfactory oil that I had in my, you know, in my pantry at the time. 1/2 cup each of brown sugar and caster sugar, 1 teaspoon of vanilla extract, 2 cups of plain flour, 1 teaspoon of baking powder, 1/2 teaspoon each of ground nutmeg, ground cinnamon, and ground ginger. So quite spicy. And 1/2 teaspoon of salt. Now, what we need to do for the method, and also we're going to grease a 22-centimeter square deep cake tin. Preheat the oven to 160 degrees fan bake. Now, for the base we're doing first, of course, put the butter, sugar, and cinnamon in a small saucepan and bring to the boil, stirring to dissolve the sugar. Add the whiskey and boil gently for 4 minutes. Cool for 5 minutes, then tip into the base of the tin. I think not forgetting to grease your tin. Slice the bananas lengthways and place the cut side down in the tin, trimming them to fit and cover the base, and then set that aside. Now for the cake itself, whisk the bananas, eggs, oil, both sugars and the vanilla together in a large bowl. Add the combined flour, baking powder, spices and salt and whisk until well combined. Now gently spoon the batter over the bananas, taking care not to dislodge them because when you tip this up, it's going to look terrific, and smooth the top. Bake for 40 minutes until puffed and golden and a skewer inserted into the centre comes out clean. Leave to cool for 10 minutes, then run a knife around the inside of the tin. Invert the cake onto a serving plate that has a small rim around it, if possible, and replace any of the bananas that might be stuck. So just sort of, you know, push them in there. You can get them off the bottom of the tin, and along with any caramel. And it says to serve at room temperature with lashings of cream. Best part.
Well, that sounds pretty good, doesn't it?
It sounds very good. And look at that.
Oh, yes, right. So it's looking very brown, and you can clearly see all the bananas sort of curled up there.
That's right.
Surrounded by a sort of, well, it looks like a brownie cakey sort of thing.
Well, it does, yeah. But I think the bananas look nice, sort of like cut up at the bottom there. Quite nice for, you know, on a displaying something that's, you know,
yeah,
quite
that sounds
nice.
Good.
Yeah.
And I mean, all too often you can end up with overripe bananas anyway, whether you
that's
get
right.
them specially or not.
Exactly, exactly. So, you know, I'll see if I've got any whiskey in my cupboard out in the laundry. So,
oh, is that where you keep it? So, I'm just going to check the laundry.
Glug, glug, glug. If I've got how much? A quarter of a cup. You never know. I could be doing something about this one.
Alrighty. Well, there we are. I'm not offering to cook it, Thomas.
Oh, no. That's all right, Peter. I understand.
All right. Yeah. Okay. Well, there we are then. So that's that one. Well, time's ticking away. Golly. So, Gail and I, there's very little doubt about what the music would be this week because the word whiskey's there. So yes. Here we are. It's just the Dubliners.
Oh, we love the Dubliners.
And where's the whiskey?
In the jar.
In the jar.
He was counting. I first produced me pistol and I then produced me rapier. Take stand and deliver, for you are a bold deceiver. Mushering the loo-da-da. Why fall the daddy-o? Why fall the daddy-o? There's whiskey in the jar. I counted out his money and it made a pretty penny. I put it in me pocket and I took it home to Jenny. She sighed and she swore that she never would deceive me. But the devil take the women, for they never can be easy. Mushering the doodle-da. Why call the daddy-o? Why call the daddy-o? There's whiskey in the jar. I went unto my chamber all for to take a slumber. I dreamt of golden jewels and for sure it was no wonder. But Jenny drew me charges and she filled them up with water. Then sent for Captain Farrell to be ready for the slaughter. Mushering the doodle-da. Why fall the daddy-o? Why fall the daddy-o? There's whiskey in the jar. 'Twas early in the morning just before I rose to travel. Up comes a band of footmen and likewise Captain Farrell. I first produced me pistol, for she'd stolen away me rapier. But I couldn't shoot the water, so a prisoner I was taken. Mushering the doodle-da. Why fall the daddy-o? Why fall the daddy-o? There's whiskey in the jar. Now there's some take the light in the carriages a-rolling, and others take the light in the Harley and the bowling. But I take the light in the juice of the barley, and courting pretty fair maids in the morning bright and early. Mushering the doodle-da. Why fall the daddy-o? Why fall the daddy-o? There's whiskey in the jar. If anyone can aid me, 'tis me brother in the army. If I can find a station in Cork or in Killarney, and if he'll go with me, we'll go roaming in Kilkenny, and I'm sure he'll treat me better than me own me sporting Jenny. Mushering the doodle-da. Why fall the daddy-o? Why fall the daddy-o? There's whiskey in the jar. Mushering the doodle-da. Why fall the daddy-o? Why fall the daddy-o? There's whiskey in the jar.
There we are then, Gail. That's whiskey in the jar. And we all know now that you keep your jar in the laundry.
Yeah, well, don't all knock at the back door, will you? Now, this here, I think it's quite important. We've got canned chickpea, some very quick recipes for using canned chickpeas, Peter. And quite often, you know, apart from using the liquid to make a pavlova, you can also use it for lots of other things. So basically, this is make a curry. So you cook 2 crushed cloves of garlic, 1 chopped onion, 1 teaspoon of cumin, and 1 teaspoon of yellow curry powder in a little olive oil for 1 to 2 minutes. Add 1 can of tomatoes, 1 can of drained chickpeas, and 500 grams of chopped kumara. Bring to the boil, reduce heat to low, and simmer until the kumara is soft. Well, how easy is that for a curry?
Don't get much easier than that, do
No,
they?
No, it's not. And with the chickpeas, it's good, you know, some good legumes are good for you. So that's just one of our quick ones. The next one we've got is bake a snack. So you're preheating the oven to 180 degrees Celsius. Drain 1 can of chickpeas and arrange on a baking tray. Spray with olive oil. Season with ground coriander and chili flakes and bake for 1 hour or until the chickpeas are crisps. So that's a good snack for up-and-coming sports that people might be watching.
Yeah, well, I like the sound of that. It's so simple, isn't it?
Yeah. Mm. Well, for now, 180 degrees, you know, some nice, you know, chickpea snacks. And the last one that I've got here that I chose is dip into hummus. So, you know, nice to have with cracker biscuits or chippies. Using a food processor, blend 1 can of drained chickpeas, juice of 1 lemon, 1/3 cup of tahini paste, 1 tablespoon of olive oil, and 2 cloves of garlic. And you're processing that until smooth. And that is your lovely hummus to have with crackers.
That's an interesting one because, yeah, I've made hummus before.
Probably
much the same as that. You put the tahini in and it's the chickpeas, isn't it?
Mm, mm. And I think, you know, sort of basically I know that if people search our site or, you know, our podcast or whatever, the recipes, you'll see that there is a recipe there for that, the pavlova that you can actually make with chickpea liquid. So please don't, you know, pour it down the sink or meringues or something like that because it can be used.
Well, of course, this is a new thing on me a few weeks ago when you first aquafaba.
Yeah, that's right. That's correct.
So you won't be very happy then when I tell you that last night when I opened my tin of chickpeas, I tipped the stuff down the sink. I was just, they fascinate me a little bit, chickpeas. And it was my turn to cook.
Mm.
And I got some chicken thighs. I said, oh, we'll chuck a load of stuff in, just put it together. But just to, rather than go for potatoes and stuff, I'd throw a tin of chickpeas in.
Good.
And I think, yeah, they're quite interesting, aren't they?
Mm, they are, yeah. So so if you are making any of those, you know, just remember that. And if you're not sure of that particular recipe, let us know because I'll repeat it.
For the pavlova?
Yeah, for the pavlova. Mm. Yeah, because... yeah, it's just amazing. It amazed me the first time I knew about it. And, of course, I made it. I think I sent a photo in too as well. But that's a little time ago.
Right, okay. But you should make a bit and bring it in for me.
Well, okay. A couple of weeks down the track when I've had some chickpeas.
But, yeah, if I get round to it, I might have a bash at some of these the chickpea things.
Yeah, well, I think that curry looks actually quite good. I mean, I could just about make that... when I got home, but I've got my tea. I'm actually going out for tea. Well, if you can call it, it's quiz night tonight, so I'm going to have a snack.
Right. Oh, a bit of junk food, eh?
Yeah, bit of junk food.
Not the sort of food you normally get on this program.
No, that's right.
All right. Well, Gail, with all that chatting at the beginning, we've used your time.
Well, we have. So we'll have to put aside our the ones we had planned for next week.
That's right, because we don't pay you beyond half an hour.
No, that's right. Yeah. Exactly.
All right. Well, I hope you've enjoyed the show, everybody. I hope you like the idea of getting a bit of feedback on some of these recipes. And if any of you out there have a go at baking them or cooking them yourself, and you've got any feedback, do send it in because
definitely
it benefits everybody.
We are interested, yeah, because we got those lovely emails from about one of our recipes or two of them, and it was great to be able to respond to that.
It was. All right then. Well, off you go.
I will, and I'll collect my scone on the way out.
Oh yes, don't forget your scone. All right then, Gail. See you next week. Bye.
This program is made with assistance from New Zealand On Air for radio broadcast and through the accessmedia.nz website. Thank you, New Zealand On Air.